Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the 13th day of Kislev, Tavshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Tishi, Mishnah Vav. Bas Kohen, Shenisus Liyisro. A daughter of a Kohen has always been even truma from her family, the Kohenim. Now she gets married to Yisrael. Loi Toichal B'truma. She can no longer eat truma. As the Torah says, Bas Kohen ki ishi elishzo, when a Bas Kohen will marry a foreigner, i.e. a non-Kohen, then she can no longer eat truma. Base, what happens if her husband died? V'lohem in a ben, and she has a son from him. It doesn't have to be a son, it could be a daughter, any child that she has. Then, lo toichal b'truma. She still cannot eat truma. Because the Pasuk says that when can a Bas Kohen, who's married to Yisrael, eat truma again? If she returns to her father's house and she has no child from that non-Kohen husband, from that Yisrael husband. And then she can return back to her father's house, kinureha, as she was when she in her youth, and then she can eat and continue eating truma from her father. But if she does have any children, if she does have zera, then she cannot eat truma in the father's house, as long as that child is alive. Nisas Levi, what happens if this woman whose husband died, whose Kohen husband, Yisrael husband died, now marries a Levi? Tochel b'maisa, she'll have to eat maisa rishon as law levim do, but not truma. Now she's lost the right to truma, because now she belongs to a Levi. Mace, what happens if her husband, who was a Levi, also dies? V'lohem min ben and leaves her a son. Tochel b'maisa, she can eat maiser because of the son that she has from a Levi. Nises l'kohen, what happens if she got married to a Kohen now? So she went from Yisrael to a Levi, now she's married to a Kohen. Tochel b'truma, she can eat truma because her husband's a Kohen. Now that's despite the fact that she's still got a child from the first husband who was a Yisrael. It doesn't matter. Now she's married to a Kohen, she belongs to a Kohen, she can eat truma. Mace, what happens if a husband who's a Kohen dies and leaves her with a son, v'lohem en a ben, again, doesn't have to be son, can be any child, toichal bat truma, she can eat truma. Ah, but she's got a child from Yisrael, from the first husband, doesn't matter, because her most recent husband was a Kohen, and that's her most recent child, so she can eat truma because of that child. Meis benami Kohen, what happens if that child that she had from a Kohen died? Lo toichal b'truma, she cannot eat truma. Why? Because her seed from Yisrael, now she's still got that child from Yisrael, passels her, disqualifies her from eating truma. Meis benami Levi, if a child that she had from the Levi, that second husband, died, lo toichal b'maisa, she cannot eat maisa rishon, because she's got no connection to the Levi anymore. Husband Levi died, and the child from that Levi died. Again, this Mishnah, we've said this a few times, only goes according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a non-Levi cannot eat Maaser Rishon. The halacha is, however, that a non-Levi can eat Maaser Rishon. If a Levi wants to invite a non-Levi to his table to eat Maaser Rishon, no problem. So this Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir's Shitta. Meis Benom Yisrael, says the Mishnah, what happens if this woman's first child from the first husband, who was a Yisrael, died? So now she's got no husband who's a Yisrael, no child that's a Yisrael. She can go back to her father's house and eat truma now again. Chazeres levei savia. She, this Bas Kohen, can go back to her family of Kohenim and eat truma gesunda hate. She's got no connections to the Levi, no connections to the Yisrael. She's now back in the family of Kohenim. And she can eat truma. Val zoin amar, concerning such a woman, the Torah says, v'shova el beis aviha kinureha melechem aviha toichel. She can return to her father's house as she was in her youth, and she can eat from the lechem, the bread of her father, i.e. she can eat the truma. The Gemara points out, truma she can eat. What she cannot eat is chazav ashoik. Chazav ashoik are parts of the korban, of a korban, such as a shlomim, which a kohen gets from people who bring the kabanas, like a shlamim, and now that she can't have. She can have truma, but not that. Mishnah Perek Asiri, Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is a long Mishnah. It talks about a person, a woman, Ashesish, who by mistake thought her husband had died, and she married another man, or lived, now got married to another man. Of course, it's not a marriage, but let's deal with the issues. The Mishnah deals with the various issues that are involved here. Ha'isha shehalach baila l'mdinas hayam. A woman whose husband went overseas. Uvav amrala, they come and they tell her, meis balech, your husband has died. The Gemara explains it was really one aid. One witness testified that her husband had died. V'nisseis, and she got married. And the halacha is, based on, you can rely on one witness alone to go and get married. A woman can do that, and not remain in aguna. And she goes and gets married to another man. Then disaster happens. Her first husband, her real husband, comes back. She was, and it comes out that she got married by mistake. She was an Eishes Ish. The second marriage, of course, is not valid. But, says the Mishnah, what happens to her is Teitze Mizeh or Mizeh. She will have to get a divorce. She'll have to be got out of the marriage of both first and second husband. She's forbidden to basically to both of them. She loses her first husband and the second. It's the same din as if an Eishes Ish, a married woman, committed adultery, where she's also to the husband and to the man, the philanderer. Now, even though the Chachamim believed one aid for a woman, because of the Takanah, and to stop people being agunas, but nevertheless, the halacha is that even so, because it turned out that her husband had died, did not die, she didn't make a proper investigation, so with the Chachamim made a penalty that she loses both. She has to get out of the marriage of both. Utsichal get mizeh mizeh. And we will not let her marry to another person until she gets a get from each of them. The first one, of course, she needs a get minatora, because she's still married to him. And the second one, even though there was no kedushin, it was absolutely invalid. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said, we wanted to have a get from the second husband, because people start talking, oh, look at that, she's been living with a man, she's married to a second man, and she didn't have a get. So it's for the public eye, really. Vein lo ksuba. She's not entitled to any money of the ksuba. Normally, a besula gets 200 dinar if the husband dies or divorces her. But here, she won't get any ksuba. V'loy peros, nor will she get any fruits, meaning that if the whatever the second husband has eaten or consumed from her property before the first husband came back from overseas, she doesn't get any compensation for that. V'loy mizonos, nor does she get any maintenance, even if she had to borrow and support herself before the second husband, before she married the second husband, she doesn't get that either. V'loy blois, nor does she get any compensation for what was used up from the clothes or the properties by the use of the person. She will only get what's there. Whatever's left, she can come and get. Loy alzeh v'loy alzeh, on neither husband. She can't ask for the ksuba from the first, from her original husband, who is the real husband, of course. She can't ask for him to retain the fruits or compensation, and the second one as well, the second husband. Inverted commas, husband. He wasn't really the husband because he was no marriage. Im not la mizeh mizeh. What happens if she did get a ksuba? Or she did take the fruits, the compensation for the fruits, after she got married? After the first husband came back, tachzir, she has to give it back. All this is a penalty. We are penalizing her very much. However, Yishalmi points out what she took from the second husband before the first husband came back, that we won't make her pay back. We won't make her return. The havlad mamzer mizeh u'mizeh, and the child born will be a mamzer from either husband. If she goes back to the first husband, it'll be a mamzer midrabanan. Why midrabanan? Because really she's married to him. The Chachamim said she has to get out of that marriage. So technically she's minatera, still married. So it's not mamzer minatera, it's a mamzer rabanan, which is really, really difficult for this child, because the child is not a mamzer minatera, so he can't marry a mamzeres, nor can he marry a normal Bas Yisrael. He's stuck in limbo. He can't marry anybody, really. And that's from the first husband. And if she has a child from the second man that she thought she was married to, that's a mamzer minatora. That's a real mamzer, because that's from an Eishes Ish that married another man, or they lived with another man. V'loy zeh v'zeh mitamin lo. Neither of the husbands, if they're kohenim, are allowed to make themselves tamei in her burial. Normally a kohen makes himself tamei to a wife, but not a wife that's psula, not a wife that was not meant to be married to.
Veloze voze zakoin, loibim tsiosa, veloibim asiadeha, veloibim hafaras nodera, nidera. And neither husband is allowed or has rights to what she finds. Normally, when a wife finds something, it goes to the husband. And the reason they do that is because to keep peace in the family, right? That the husband can keep it. But here we don't want there to be a peace. We want the husbands to divorce her. V'loy b'masedah, nor do they get any rights to what she produces. Normally the halacha is what a woman produces, a wife produces, the husband takes that because he supports her and he gives her maintenance and money. But since she doesn't get any maintenance from them, masedah remain hers. She keeps what she produces. V'loy b'arasandah, they have no right to break her vows. The Torah only gives a right up to a husband to break a vow so that she should not be tiskana, she should not lose favor or become disgusting in his eyes. So therefore, for example, if she made a vow not to bathe herself or not to put ever makeup, etc. We say that a husband's allowed to break that vow because it affects the relationship. But here we want it to be the relationship to be affected. We don't want it to be find favor in her husband's eyes. So the husband loses that ability to be able to break her vows. Furthermore, hoysa bas Yisrael nifsala min hakuna. If she was a bas Yisrael and her husbands were kohenim, then if the husbands died before she was divorced, then normally an almona, a widow, can be married to a kohen. But here, she cannot get married to a kohen because she has a din of a zoina. She has a din of a woman who committed adultery. Or bas Levi. And if she was a daughter of a Levi, she becomes disqualified in a maaser from eating maaser rishon. Now, although normally the halach is a zona, a woman who committed adultery can eat maaser rishon, again, this is a knas, this is a penalty that the chachamim put on her. Or vas koyen, if she was a daughter of a koyen, she becomes posel from min hatruma. She becomes posel eating truma, even if it was a truma midrabbanon of the rabbis. Furthermore, ve'en yorshim ze shel ze ve'yorshim shel ze yorshim es ksubasa. The heirs of both husbands, of either husband, will not be Yorish her Kesuba. What does that mean? The Gemara explains we're talking about a special Kesuba here. It's called the Kesubas Bonin Dichring, the Kesuba of the male children. There is a halacha. One of the conditions of a Kesuba is, if a woman dies in the lifetime of her husband, and she has children who are boys, she has Bonim Schorim, that those children, those bonim scharim, will inherit her kesuba and the money, that the dowry that she's brought in. Let's say her father brought in $1 million into the marriage and she brought that into the marriage, then that will not be shared equally with all the children. It'll be her children that will inherit that kesuba. That's normally the case. It's called kesubas bonim dichrin. It was made because fathers would think twice about giving a big dowry to their daughter if they know that their daughter gets married to a man who's got other children or whatever, and all his possessions are going to be shared. So there's a special halacha that the kesubas bonim dichrin, things that she brings into the marriage, will go to her children. If she dies in the lifetime of her husband, it will not go to the husband and shed. Now, that's normally the case. Here, however, if she dies in the lifetime of both husbands, and then the husbands die, then and she had children from both the husbands, the Chachamim put a knas, a penalty, on her children that they will not get the Ksuvas Bon Dichrin. They will not be Yorish the Ksuba of their mother. All this was put as a penalty for the woman who went with another man without properly investigating to make sure that her husband had died. Ve'im meso, and if both husbands died without children, which means that there is a question of yibum now involved, and they leave, each one has surviving brothers. Cha'achiv shel zeh, ve'achiv shel zeh, choltzin v'yab malav mi'abnin. The brother of each, of the first husband and the second husband, each have to give chalitza. Now, the first husband, the brother of the first husband who died without children, surely has to give chalitza. That's min haTorah, because she is the wife. She's the proper wife of his deceased brother. But he cannot do yibum. Why not yibum? Again, the Chachamim made a knas. Nope. We're not going to let her get married to the, even if the surviving brother wants to do evil, we will not, let that marriage go ahead. The second, the brother of the second husband who died without children, he gives chalitza, but that's minrabonim. He does it so, again, because people will start saying, oh, look, she didn't get a chalitza. And just like in a case of a get, she would have to give a get from the second husband, so gives chalitza. This is all the opinion of the Tanakama, and the halacha is like the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ksubasa al Nichse Baal Rishon. Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says that her ksuba will be the first on her on the properties of the first husband. She does not lose that. Rabbi Yossi says that the first husband has to give her a ksuba because she was shegegas, because it was accidental. She didn't do it on purpose. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Harishon zakai bimtziosa uvemasi yodeha uvehafaras nadera. Rabbi Elazar says, in contrast to the first, contrary to the first opinion of the first Tanakama, he says the first husband will have the rights to what she finds, if she finds Metzia, will have the rights to what she produces, and does have the right or the ability to break her vows. The Chachamim did not penalize the first husband with things that are for his benefit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biosa, Oichalitzosa, Me Achiv, Shal Rishon, Peteres, Tzorosa. Rabbi Shimon says that her Bia, he says that either living with her or a chalitza that's given to her from the brother of the first husband will exempt the other wife, the tzora. Rabbi Shimon holds basically that the brother, the surviving brother of the first husband is allowed to not just chalitza, but he's allowed to do yibum. And when he does yibum or chalitza, he exempts the tzora. The other wife doesn't need anything. Similarly, he holds that the second husband, when he dies without children, his brother, his surviving brother, does not need to give chalitza whatsoever because she wasn't married to him at all. Furthermore, Rabbi Shimon holds, ve'ein havalod mimena mamzer. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the first person, the first husband, takes her back, and that was the real husband, and she's technically still married to him, and if she, if he takes her back against the wishes of the Chachamim said she's not allowed to, but if he did, Rabbi Shimon says, we wouldn't call the child a mamzer, not even midrabanan. V'im nisei sheloi b'shus, and if she got married without the rishus of Beis Din, but she had the support of two witnesses came along and they said, your husband has died, and she in good faith went and married based on their testimony, and in such a case, she doesn't really need to have rishus Beis Din, because two edim is strong enough grounds for her to get married again. And then she finds out that, oy vey, that her husband now is alive still. Muteras lachzolai. She is allowed to go back to her, to him, to the first husband. Why? Because that's really anusa. That's really a woman who can't be blamed at all. You can, when two witnesses come and tell her something like that, she had every right to rely on that. And therefore, she's allowed to go back to the first husband. The second husband's marriage is totally null and void. Has nothing. There's nothing to it. However, the halacha is not like any of these dissenting views. It's not like Rabbi Yossi, who held ksuba, that she gets a ksuba from the first husband. No, she doesn't. And it's not like Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the first husband still has rights to the Metzia and Masi Adao and can break her vows. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Bio Chalitza from the first husband is good enough, you don't need the second. The halacha is like the Tanakama. And whether she gets married with the Rishus of Beis Din, based on one witness, whether she gets married on two, with the a basis of two witnesses testifying for her husband, either way, she needs to go out of the marriage of both cases, and all the dinim that we said before applies. Any child born will be a mamzer from both husbands. First one, the Raisa, second one, Rabbanon, and the other halachas that we said before, like the Tanakamah.